Well, good morning, everybody. I guess most of you saw the royal wedding. What a wonderful, wonderful service it was, and what a great preach. What a special couple. And I just, as I listened to it yesterday afternoon, I just thought God is really on the move in his world. I'm going to begin with a prayer that I found years ago, and I kept it because every time I come across it, it makes me smile. And it's a prayer that was prayed by a Mississippi Bible teacher as he entered the pulpit one Sunday morning, and he prayed this. O Lord, give thy servant this morning the eyes of the eagle and the wisdom of the owl. Connect his soul with the gospel telephone in the central skies. Illuminate his brow with the sun of heaven. Possess his mind with a love for all people. Turpentine his imagination and grease his lips with possum oil. Electrify his brain with the lightning of the word. Put perpetual motion in his arms and fill him plumb full of the dynamite of your glory. Anoint him all over with the kerosene of salvation and set him on fire. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't really want to be set on fire, literally, but this wasn't Pentecost Sunday. Today it is. And we come to, continue our series of the Book of Acts, which forms this transition. It's a bridge between the life of Jesus and the life of the new church. After Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, Acts tells us that for 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus then appeared to his disciples many times. And then he ascended into heaven. And we, this morning, pick up the story as the disciples, who were now very frightened and hiding away from the Jews, were together in Jerusalem waiting. And they were waiting for the power to come. Because Jesus had said to them, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this was the day. It was a Jewish holiday, and thousands of people would have been milling around Jerusalem from regions far and wide. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And as the tongues of fire rested on each of them, they experienced a divine exchange in their lives. Uncertainty to certainty, from fear to faith in this God who loved the world so much that he died on our behalf. Such was his great love for us, restoring, renewing, and through these believing disciples, God was going to establish his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And the whole point is that the Holy Spirit, this creative power of God himself, comes from heaven to earth and does his work here through people like the disciples, people like us, who really want to see God's kingdom come, who really want to see others come to know Jesus, transforming beautiful love for each one of them. And why? Because together as church, we know that God's love is the answer. This love that never destroys but builds us up. This love that always encourages, never humiliates, always holds us, always blesses us, always is constant. And there are no buts in God's kingdom. Everyone is welcome. Yesterday at this wedding, not the one here, the one in London, was no coincidence that the American bishop, Michael Curry, his name was, preached at that royal wedding on the power of the love of God to be redemptive, to heal and transform the world. God, by his Spirit, gave the bishop a platform to speak, not only over the lives of Prince Harry and Meghan, but also to millions of people who would never, under any other circumstances, listen to a bishop preach or an archbishop who breathed the very life of God into the liturgy of that marriage service yesterday. And it was fun. What a beautiful witness of God's Spirit at work in different ways in those people. And I wonder sometimes if we often forget the gift of this Spirit. We forget that it's only through the work of God's Spirit in our lives that we'll ever see the power of God at work. On the day of Pentecost, a match was struck in Jerusalem. And at first, a few people were touched and warmed. But the fire of God's love spread beyond Jerusalem, Judea, and out beyond the world to all people. And this fire of the Holy Spirit that doesn't destroy, but it cleanses and it heals and it restores, bringing joy in its wake. You know, the church was born to be full of joy, of fun, of dancing, of rejoicing, of heaven here on earth. Sounds a bit noisy, doesn't it? But there are just as many times in the life of the church when the Holy Spirit works softly and quietly, secretly doing his work, transforming lives, repairing brokenness, coming to situations without any fuss or any noise at all, almost hardly noticed. And yet, by his Spirit, God's redeeming love is always at work. And God is God, and we can't, thankfully, dictate how God will pour out his Spirit or bring his kingdom in. It's clear that on this day, the gift of tongues was poured out and the disciples, all of them, were able to speak in other languages. And this still happens today, and we don't talk about it very much. I like to put it in a cupboard, and yet it's a gift. It's one of the gifts that God gives to us as his people that releases within us a spirit of praise and releases within us that possibility of speaking to others in a language that we don't understand, but they do, of the things of the kingdom of God. I've been really challenged over the past few weeks about the Spirit's work. So you're going to be challenged too, about how he manifests God's power among us. And I think the church is quite often too cautious about the power of the Spirit's anointing, to the extent that the Spirit can be quenched and quietened. Shh. We don't want to hear about that. Shh. You don't want to do that. And along with this, we lose, slips away, our close relationship with God that can only happen through the gift of his Spirit at work within us. We can distance ourselves from God at any moment we choose by quenching the Spirit's work within us. And sometimes I think we're too protective of new believers. I think our own fears prevent others from totally abandoning themselves to God and trusting him in this whole area of the gift of his Holy Spirit as he comes to live within us. I've been reading a book by Chris Lane called Ordinary Miracles. And Chris has spent the last 18 years leading a church in Langworthy, Salford. And his church is made up of anyone under 30. And when he started the church on an estate, it was a no-go area, social deprivation of every kind, and all the criminal activity that goes with that. And the church decided that they would take three young lads from this estate to Soul Survivor, to a festival one summer. And it's a place that's full of thousands of young people who are serious about God. I would feel like a real grandma in a place like that. I didn't used to years ago, but I would now. Neither of these lads had been to church before, because the relationship had built, because they met through football sessions on the park each week. Chris tried to prepare them for worship, for the talks they might hear, and for the prayer. But the bottom line was, he said to them, if you don't like it, you don't want to stay, I'll bring you home. So that was the deal. When they arrived, he was keeping an eye out for them and watching for the times that they might need rescuing, or someone else might need rescuing from them. And one of them got his knee healed. And then Chris realised one was missing, and he had to watch Matty being prayed for by an earnest teenager. So he drew closer in case any exorcisms were attempted. And then he heard this praying in tongues. And his heart sank. And afterwards, he went up to Matty and said, how are you? You all right? Matty talked about this weird language being used as he was being prayed over. And Chris was about to apologise and try to explain what this was. But then Matty continued and he said, but then, after a bit, I could understand what he was saying. And it was God talking to me about my future, telling me that he loved me and that it was going to be okay. And he'd always be with me. Chris Lane's first thought, he's very honest in this book, is God allowed to do that to the unchurched, those who've never been? Matty had been given the gift of the interpretation of tongues. Unchurched, unprepared, yet anointed by God to hear directly from God's heart how much he loved him and that he had a future beyond anything that he'd thought would be imaginable. And it seems that God can't be put into our theological or our church structures at all. Miracles happen when people like Chris Lane or us and this teenager praying at Soul Survivor just take risks with God and they trust him, because God doesn't hurt us. God is always, always at work everywhere, and the purpose of that is to let us know that everyone matters. We're all significant to him, and he knows each one of us by name. Not just believers, he knows each one of us by name, and he loves us. And in our reading from John 16, Jesus said to his disciples, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And Acts 2 is the fulfillment of this promise. And then look what happened. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" I suspect that the disciples didn't know what they were saying. That was the gift of tongues. But the hearers could understand in their own language, directly from the heart of God, the truth that was promised when the Holy Spirit comes. He would lead us into all truth. Everyone in Jerusalem was talking about what they'd seen and heard as God poured out his Spirit. And that day, the church of God took the world's breath away. Now, here's the challenge. Because there's a question here. Have our churches today, has our church got enough energy, enough spirit-filled new life to make any onlookers make any comment at all? Has anything happened which might make people think that we're drunk? As I was thinking about this and I was praying about this, it's very uncomfortable, isn't it? This sort of stuff. And then I remembered that Jim and I, Jim's my husband, for those of you who don't know, and we went to a Christian gathering, and it was one of these big things, and it was teaching about the Holy Spirit. And there was an invitation to go forward for prayer for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I'm always in there. I'm up for it. And Jim came too. And it was a long walk down. And as we came to the front, there was a true sense of God's power and love surrounding us. And I was just going to turn and say something to Jim, and he'd gone. He was flat out on the floor laughing. And he was baptized and anointed again with the Holy Spirit, enjoying himself. And I must admit, I was thinking, well, why him and not me? But God works as he longs to work in each one of us. He touches our lives as he sees fit, always working to the good. The church today, as we keep our ears open for the movement of God in different places, in different churches, he still takes the world's breath away. As the Spirit of God heals addicts, restores broken relationships, brings hope to the helpless, and brings mercy and justice to those who have no voice, God raises up his people to speak on their behalf. Our God is a missional God. And this gift of the Holy Spirit, it's God's initiative. And we can't, as a church, proclaim his good news in our own strength and by our own inspiration. We just can't. We were never designed to do it on our own. Always in partnership with God. And God, through his Spirit, promises to give to us the power and the gifts we need as we step out to share and open the door of his kingdom to those we meet day by day in the ordinariness of our lives. Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, had this to say. "No other task is so urgent as that of speaking the good news on earth and making it known." We've just come to the end of that 10 days of prayer, praying in God's kingdom, here on earth, in our lifetime, in this place too. We've all been praying for 5 people to come to know Jesus. And I think, you know, it'd be really good if, rather than coming to the end of that, it's a beginning. It's a beginning of a new thirst for prayer, a new wave of prayer for all of us in our church. I think that, you know, when I came to faith, I was an atheist until I was 31. Jim was a Christian. And I don't blame all his friends for praying for me, and him as well. They were praying me into the kingdom. And some of them were praying for 3 years. Are we committed enough to pray for our family and our friends for as long as it takes? I was praying for my sister for 20 years. Just look what God can do now. Just amazing God. I have more than 5 people on my list because I know that if I don't pray for them, no one else will. Because prayer is the key to the kingdom. It's the key to the kingdom work and the power of God at work to transform the lives and the situations around us. And God's Spirit enables and equips us to do all that he calls us to. And it's in that place of prayer that we'll hear God's voice and God's call. We're going to just watch a few clips from a video. It's from the Alpha Conference this year. It was held in the Albert Hall. And it's about testimony of people's lives who were changed. And there's also a testimony from someone called Brian Stevenson, who was a lawyer and was called out by God to give up that corporate life. And he founded and now directs the Equal Justice Initiative in Montgomery, Alabama. He's also the author of a bestseller called Just Mercy.
I spent 4 years in prison. I was a drug smuggler. I witnessed my mom get abused all the time. I was a broken man. I mean, I used to go to prison just to feel safe. And I remember just bumping into an evangelist. And he just said, listen, Jesus has a purpose for your life. I was sitting with a couple of kilos of cocaine. And I remember saying, there has to be more.
Basically, Ryan was, we would call the police the frequent flyer. So, Ryan up onto the stage. I'm sitting in the congregation in absolute disbelief. The health, of course, was advertised. We signed up to it. At the end of the day, Ryan came and set his hands on me and prayed for me. And I just felt this hot wave coming over me. The beads of sweat coming down my brow. I was smiling inanely from one ear to the other. And I was giggling and laughing like a 3-year-old. And this was Ryan doing that to me. It was just...
I think there's something about coming to God time and time and time again, acknowledging before him our need, which is what, you know, Brian was talking about, of his own brokenness. And out of that, as we're restored by God, we have a precious gift to offer the world. We have a gift that we have experienced from God, and we can then speak that out. We can share our own story so that others would know what we know about this God who loves us enough to die for us. As I'm thinking about the prayer, Ian Bounds, who's a theologian of the past, he said this: few Christians have anything but a vague idea of the power of prayer. The church seems wholly unaware of the power that God has placed in our hands. And I just wonder, you know, do we, you know, church, do we need to wake up to what God has already given to us? People are weary sometimes in ministry. And the way we get weary is because we do it in our own strength. And we begin with a vision, and we have this wonderful call of God, and yet sometimes we can run ahead, and then we find we're doing it all in our own strength instead of looking and listening all the time for the move of the Spirit and for the new things that God is going to do. I believe that it's time for us to plough up new ground and to allow God to lift our heads up again. Maybe it's time for all of us to just come together as church and say to God, yeah, I'm in again. I'm sorry, you know, I just lost my way for a while, but I'm in again. And I know that I can't do it on my own. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And as we become, you know, not people on the reserve benches, so to speak, but become part of God's army here, we shall see transformation in our church and in our community. Just before I came out this morning, Jim was sharing this documentary that he'd seen, and the director of Pan Am Air and Boeing in the 60s, they were fishing together, and they had this idea of getting more people up in the air in one plane. And the seed of the idea for Boeing 707 was born, that transatlantic plane. And they bought it from its first concept in design to test pilot in 28 months. And I thought, do you know, if human beings can be so creative when they come together with a common purpose, can you imagine what God would do if all of his people said, yes, I'm in, equip me, I'll be open to everything that you want to do in my life. For each of us it will be different. For some of us it'd be really noisy, and for some of us it'd be really quiet. But we shall see transformation. And if you're finding that your faith and your Christianity and your church life is a bit boring at the moment, we only have ourselves to blame. Because I find that with God it's just an adventure. And that daily, as I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, you know, show me the one in front of me today, I find I'm having conversations and God's positioning me in places that I never thought that I would be. Having conversations I never thought I would be having. And sometimes that's all we need to do, is have a conversation. Sometimes it's kindness, it's compassion, it's love, it's just walking alongside people. And that, you know, I think it's true that people now, the younger generation, are looking for people to take a long journey with them and to walk with them. And church won't look like this anymore. So I'm going to ask you to stand. If you are interested, and if you're, you know, your heart is saying to you, yeah, I could do with a fresh wave of the Spirit, I could do with a fresh anointing of God this morning. And you know, Rachel, would you like to come up and just be with me on this? Because actually, Rachel's gifting is better than mine in leading people. You know, it's that's Rachel's gift, is leading people in prayer. So as we...
I didn't get that.
I know. So would you like to leave people in prayer as just as we wait upon God in these moments.
So let's just reach out to God as we stand, knowing that he is here and his heart is all for us. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, we are here for you. Help us to open our hearts, open our souls, open our bodies. Just relax our bodies and open them to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way in your people this morning. If there's anything in us that's just blocking the way, any doubt, any disappointment, any just desperate weariness that is just making us close in on ourselves, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, come in your gentleness and just release, melt, mold and open. Lift up the heads of your people. Lord, thank you that you gaze upon us with love and delight as we begin to open more to you. And as on that first Pentecost, the Spirit came, they were ready and prepared. But they weren't ready and prepared. They had no idea what was coming. Lord, we ask you to come in the way that only you know and that you want to, in this place, at this time, with each of us as you know us and all the potential that we have in you. So we say again, come, Holy Spirit. Come gently or come like a violent rushing wind. And fill us, bubble up in us to eternal life and flow through us into the lives of the people we meet day by day. Have your way among us. Have your way.